Now, sexual history. Sexual history is kind of tough for a lot of us because even though we are in a sexually open society, it is still kind of taboo, dirty. You don't talk about that. I can talk about it with my friends, and I can talk about it on TV, but I can't talk about it with my doctor or my nurse. That's just wrong. Yeah. So, you know, I can have a blog that says all about it, but, you know, you're wearing scrubs, and that makes you the man. I can't talk to the man. All right, so there's an idea that sexual drive is an indicator of overall health. Some people adhere to this. Some people say it's not such a big deal. But generally speaking, our culture has accepted that if a person doesn't have sex drive, there must be something wrong with them. Now, that doesn't make it so, but it's the popular perception. So we want to ask about, is a person's perception of sexuality? Is it dirty? Is it normal? Is it something that should be done with just a husband and wife, or is it something that should be done as often as possible? It's funny. I've had friends who have gone to the doctor, and the doctor asks them how often they have sex, and they say, "I don't. I'm saving it for marriage." And then the doctor wants to refer them to sexual counseling. So, you know, we live in an interesting culture right now. Frequency and nature of sexual activity. How often a person has sexual activity and what is it? Now, this is important because there are a lot of kids running around who don't think that oral sex is sex. They don't think that anal sex is sex. And they're running around doing all kinds of sexual activity, but that's not sex. I'm still a virgin. Yeah. So we need to ask about these two things. You don't just assume, that if a person used to ask, have you ever had sex? Yeah. No. Are you a virgin? Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of people who are trying to preserve what they call technical virginity. I'm technically a virgin. So we need to be very specific when we ask people about these things. Age of first experience. The reason that's important is because it's been shown that the earlier a girl has her first sexual activity, the more her chances of getting sexually transmitted diseases and cervical cancer. So we want to identify people who are at risk because of early age of sexual experience. Sexual problems. Anorgasmia is inability to have orgasms. Sometimes that can be caused by drugs, sometimes it can be caused by depression or other hormonal problems. Decreased libido. I used to enjoy sex, or I used to have drive, and now I don't. Dyspareunia. That's a big word that means painful intercourse. Now, painful intercourse, especially in older women, is usually due to a lack of estrogen, which causes their genitalia to atrophy, to shrink. And so they don't have enough padding, they don't have enough lubrication, so it makes it painful when they have intercourse. But it can also happen in young girls, especially girls who start having sex too early. STIs. Now, STI stands for sexually transmitted infections. The old term was STD, which stood for sexually transmitted diseases. And the older term before that was venereal disease. Now, why did we change names? Okay, because venereal disease just has this horrible connotation of you're a bad, evil person. And, you know, sometimes it's not their fault their husband was running around, or it's not their fault their wife was a tramp. And, you know, I mean, what's wrong if two consenting adults want to have sex outside of marriage? So they changed it from venereal disease to sexually transmitted disease. But then, you know, there's a problem with that too, because disease, I mean, like, I'm not diseased. You know, disease implies continuation. And there's a lot of these infections, you can cure them. So it's not really a disease at all, it's just an infection. So let's just call them sexually transmitted infections. So that's where our current climate is. There's a lot of people who still call them STDs because of, you know, just so long calling them that. And there's a couple people who still call them venereal diseases, although that's less common because a lot of them are retired or dead now. All right. I want to ask about risk behaviors. Promiscuity. having sex with outside of monogamous marriage without using protection like a condom, having sex without contraception, anal sex, and there's a variety of other weird behaviors that a lot of people are beginning to become more involved with, partly because of the availability of internet pornography. So it's kind of like monkey see, monkey do. Sexual orientation. So, and there's two things here. One is, what does a person feel? Another is, what a person does. Now, they're very different, and you need to ask about both, because there are a lot of men who have sex with other men who are not gay and not homosexual. And if you say, are you homosexual or are you gay, they will tell you no. But guess what? They go to public bathrooms and pick up random men to have sex with, but they're gay, and they're not gay, and they're married and have children. You know, there is an example of one of them, Senator Craig from Idaho. I'm not homosexual, but I occasionally pick guys up in the bathroom and have sex with them. So you can't just ask about, you know, identification, because people will not identify with it but still engage in the behavior. On the other hand, you have some people who consider themselves gay but may not be sexually active or may not have sex with other men. So you really need to ask about both aspects of that question. Do you have sex with other men? Do you have sex with other women? Do you consider yourself gay or lesbian? Yeah. So you have to ask.
Do both?
Yeah, you need to ask both. So on the one hand is, you know, do you have sex with other men? Do you consider yourself gay or homosexual? Do you have sex with other women? Do you consider yourself lesbian or gay or homosexual? Or bi? That's the other one.
At what point do you ask sexual history? I mean, if someone's coming into the ER and they cut their finger, are you still going through this entire rundown?
Now, remember, what we're talking about right now is a complete health history.
Okay.
So
it's not
right.
Yeah,
you're not always going to do everything.
Okay.
And sometimes it's going to be a focused history. You know, if someone comes in with a sexually transmitted disease, you're definitely going to ask
right.
about this. You may not ask about, you know, the nutrition.
Right.
You know. So it depends on...
people being really offended or asking all this stuff, and necessarily
right. Oh, I forgot. In the risk behaviors, two important risk behaviors: use of drugs during sex, and I forget what they call it, but use of anoxia during sex, basically strangulation. There have been several people who have died high-profile deaths doing that, including the lead singer of NXS, Michael Hutchins, which is why we have that reality show. You know, the Who Wants to Be a Rock Star NXS thing, NXS, I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, so those are two important risk behaviors to ask about. All right, as far as abuse and rape, you know, it's unbelievable the number of people who have been abused or raped now. Most rape occurs by acquaintances, probably people who they're on a date with at the time. They did some studies of surveys of teenagers, and little 14 and 15 year olds would say it's okay for a guy to rape a girl if he's paid a lot of money, meaning, which was in their estimation like $15. So you took her to Denny's and you took her to a movie, and now she has to have sex with you, and if she doesn't, you can force her. You know, that was kind of the results. Not everyone, but a surprising number. And there were a lot of girls at the same time who would say, yeah, a girl should put out if... Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, you have the classic, you know... Well, I never said any... You know, never mind. Anyway... There's a lot of women out there who have been raped or abused, and there's a lot of women who may not have been raped, but they didn't want to have sex, but they didn't put up a fight. And they feel guilty about it. And so they feel like they've been raped, even though it, I guess you could say it technically wasn't rape. So it's very important that we, you know, that we have sensitivity in asking these types of questions, but it's something that needs to be asked when you're doing a sexual history. Number of pregnancies and terminations. Now, what is a termination? Okay, it includes abortions, but it also includes miscarriages. So the two together are terminations. Whether a woman is trying to become pregnant, why is that important? Yeah. Well, yes, women who are trying to become pregnant should be taking certain nutritional supplements and should be refraining from certain medications is the big one. Also, if a person is trying to become pregnant, there's a chance they might already be pregnant, and you need to be careful that we don't do anything that would harm the baby by accident. LMP, what does that mean? Last menstrual period. How do we measure it? What's the first day of the menstrual period? Actually, no. Yeah. So, last menstrual period is measured from the first day of bleeding. So, the first day of bleeding is the first day of the menstrual period. The day before the bleeding started is the last day of the menstrual period. So, that's something that a lot of women don't know. And when you ask the question, when was your last menstrual period? If they give you a specific date, you want to ask, was that your first day of bleeding? If they say no, well, then you say, okay, well, what was the first day of bleeding? The other problem with that is some women will bleed for one day, some women will bleed up to 5 or 6 days. So, you know, there's a big window there. You need to find out, you know, if they're telling you the end of it, they could be off by six days or one day. So always ask, you know, from the first day of bleeding. And then finally we have menopause. What is menopause? Okay, when a woman doesn't have their period anymore. And when does that typically happen? Around 50? Okay, so usually late 40s, early 50s, and it's a period of years. Now, one of the things that can happen in this time, a woman stops having periods, so they say, hey, I'm no longer fertile. So guess what they stop? Birth control. And the next thing you know, along comes a little surprise package. Yeah. Are any of you a surprise package? Okay, we have one in the room. Any of you know surprise packages? Yeah. Yeah, I never understood, you know, when I was growing up, you know, one of our friends, like, she was like 20 years younger than her last sister. And her parents were just really old. We're like, what? Why? What's going on here? And then later, I figured it out. So smart. So, one of the important things for us to do when we are dealing with a woman, when that we call it perimenopausal, around the menopausal years, is ask, are you using birth control? Because if they're not, they need to be prepared that they might get a surprise package. There's nothing wrong with that. But they might take issue to having a surprise package. So you want to, just so you know.